Good morning, this is Chairman Brad Holton, present as Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 10:30 agenda item, and it's meeting with Health Board trustees and broker. And so this is a informational meeting. There is no agenda item for any kind of decision from the board, and nor do we expect to make one this morning. So with that, Martin, would you take it away?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Chairman Holton, Commissioner Brooks, and Commissioner Van Beek. It's been, I think, 4 months since the last time I was in front of you talking about the financial position of the Health Trust and then kind of some options moving forward, kind of how the overall performance of the trust was doing. And at that time, I brought it to the attention of the board that there were some funding issues identified that we needed to be paying close attention to. Well, at that moment, and still, it's somewhat true to this day, the trust remains solvent. The downward trend that we were seeing at that time has grown a little faster than we anticipated. But there's been a lot that's changed since then. We've onboarded our new brokerage firm, Gallagher, and with me today, or with us today, is Scott Howell from Gallagher and Cindy Teeley, who have been fantastic. And we turned over all the documentation, our plans. They got to see the behind the scenes, look at our finances. And what you have in front of you today is their financial analysis of our trust and kind of their recommendations for a plan moving forward, which is what I hope today starts. Is we're at a position now where the Health Trust Board with our brokers and the Board of County Commissioners, our clerk and controller, we've got to start sharpening the pencil and kind of figuring this out and how it's going to look with the financial impact to the county, potentially to employees, and how it needs to be structured, how it can be structured to be least impactful. If it's done on a tiered system over the next 6 months, but at the end of the day, what you have in front of you kind of lays out the picture of where we're at. And it's not super doom and gloom and bleak. It's not super positive at the same time. And there just needs to be some action. And I'm hoping that today's meeting will lead to further conversations, much like when we sit down and do budget workshops for budgeting for the year, that there's those kinds of conversations that are taking place where collectively we sort this out and we figure out how we become financially stable moving forward. That's what I got for an opening statement. I'll stand for any questions if there is. It's a lot to digest if this is the first time you're seeing it. So I don't know at this point if you even have any questions or anything for me or the Health Trust Board or our brokerage. I would like Scott to cover this if you're looking for somebody to analyze this. This is definitely his work, and they put a lot of effort in a short amount of time to get to this point.
Chairman, I just have a question. There was I sat in on one meeting, and in that meeting from the RFP, there were proposals on percents covered and what was included in coverage for employees, and that's yet to come for. I mean, these are just the numbers on what you anticipate going forward for 2025 for your organization. When you cover that on the second page, you have some numbers outside of the box. If you could indicate if those are the number of Kennedy County employees, I don't know if that's true or not. That's almost 1,600, so that number didn't make sense to me. And then,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What are you at on?
I'm on 2024 monthly medical rates, and then you have a total column with estimated annual premiums of $10,461,672, and then out to the right margin of that, I didn't.
That's our enrollment.
Yeah.
The
789 is the total.
Okay. Right. Okay. And I wasn't sure. I thought we had 1,000 employees. I added all those numbers together. That number is too high. So I just wanted clarification on that. And then we are going to at some point be given a choice on the medical rate option 1 or 2. So I'm sure all that's going to be covered.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, So just to clarify, ma'am, on page three there where it has the specific numbers like 318.92, that's the total number of employees for employee-only, spouse, child, children, and family for 789. We do have a higher census, but there are employees who opt not to be part of our medical plan.
Okay.
We have our FTE rate, and then we have our enrollment rate.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
And I might remind the public, on all good reports like this, this is a snapshot in time with making estimates from the current information today. Our mileage may vary starting in January. So it's just informational for today, and there's no decision being wrought today. But we have to, you know, it's the board's both their responsibility and their prerogative to bring forth information from time to time to the board. And so this is not a drop dead, the sky's falling. This is just to where we're at today.
Sir, and Chairman Holton, to your point, if I may, fellow commissioners, again, yes, it is a snapshot in time, and myself and Scott, Tim Marks with Gem Plan, this is a constant conversation taking place because while today's a snapshot in time, there are variables still that are outstanding. Our stop loss reimbursement, we haven't fully actualized that, right? I mean, that potentially closes the gap of where we're at closing the end of this year. However, our INR is pretty significant too. So our incurred but not reported on that side of things. And so where we had an anomaly month this year where we had significant payouts due to multiple claimants, not the one singular or anything else. That's an anomaly year. You don't normally see those in your plan jump that significantly. But yes, there is still potential revenues that come in that help a lot in the way this looks. But I felt it was prudent to be in front of you today to have you to talk with the broker, ask questions, and have them kind of cover the whys behind
something. Sure.
So if you'll entertain it, I can.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
Good morning.
Thanks, Barton, commissioners. I guess just for a little bit of context, obviously the county operates a self-insured plan, health plan, to benefit the employees of the county and their families, and it's funded through a trust. If we go back to the end of fiscal 21, the trust ended with the trust having a balance of just over $7 million. Each of the next three fiscal years ran at a deficit. Fiscal 22, about a $900,000 deficit. Fiscal 23, just over $1 million deficit. And fiscal 24 is over a $2 million deficit. So which takes us to the first column on the second page of the memo that we distributed. The latest financial statement that we were provided by the trust shows a ending net assets of $2.782 million. There are a couple of liability lines, one of a health reimbursement account, HRA, and then the incurred but not reported claims. Once those are netted out, the ending net balance of $1.334 million. Looking back at the last couple of years of claims, our actuary and underwriting team made a projection for what we should expect in fiscal 25 as far as claims. And when we compare that to the current expected revenue to the trust, we would project running at a deficit again, which would take the trust into a negative balance if nothing changes on the revenue side by the end of fiscal 25. So that being the case, our recommendation is to increase the funding rate. Currently, the county contributes $970 per employee for medical and $83 per employee for dental per month into the trust. And our recommendation is to increase that monthly funding amount to, on the medical side, to $1,256 per employee per month. We don't see a need to change the dental funding rate. And then, in addition to that, because the trust has been running at a deficit the last 3 years, the just kind of the baseline balance of the trust is low. Because this is a county, you're not subject to oversight by the Department of Insurance on your health trust. If you were, say, you know, you were a city or another government entity that is subject to Department of Insurance oversight on the trust, the department would require a balance in the trust of somewhere between like $3.4 and $4.2 million as kind of the baseline. And as you see, we're ending 24 with a balance of about $1.3 million. So while you're not subject to those regulations, it is, in our opinion, a best practice to follow those guidelines pretty closely. So we would also recommend a one-time infusion into the trust to bring that balance up to the, you know, $3.2 to $3.5 million range. So as far as revenue increases for the trust, under that bullet on the memo, that's that one-time infusion of $2 to $2.8 million and the increase in monthly funding to prevent the trust from running at a deficit. Our work with the trust is just getting started, as was mentioned. The RFP happened this fall, and our engagement officially started the 1st of November. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us to evaluate everything that we can to minimize the spend side of things. And that will involve looking at all of the vendor partners that the trust uses for administration of the plan, looking at the plan design, looking at other funding options, just to make sure that we're providing a valuable benefit and doing so at the best cost that we can manage. I'm happy to take any questions on the numbers there, on the concepts, or the work that's behind them.
Let us crunch the numbers for a little bit.
Sitting in here taking good news all morning, it sounds like.
Yeah. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm going to carefully toss this out there, but thank you for the breakdown and the analysis and where Gallagher hopes to go. The one thing that made national news was, if people pay premiums, and I'm sure this was vetted out, but just provide reassurance for our employees and those listening that if there's an increase, that the level of paid claims and service is going to stay commensurate with where we've been. I have not had any problems, but I think that's heavy on everybody's mind. What does that look like?
Yeah. And the increased funding that we're talking about for 25 assumes no benefit changes for this next year. And as we look at potential changes for future years, we'll be very, very careful to make sure that the benefits that are offered remain competitive, especially competitive with other government employers in the area, and that service levels are also maintained.
Okay. And given the conversation with the pharmaceuticals, I noticed there wasn't a big difference between what Gallagher is proposing and where we've been. Was there any cost saving on generic drugs or anything like that? What's your proposal on that, given that it's staying the same?
The overall number stays pretty close to what it has been. I think one thing that I'll point out between fiscal 24 and fiscal 25, there's almost a 10% decrease in the number of employees that are covered because of the employees from the public defender that went to the state.
Gotcha.
So the per employee number is up while the kind of that gross total number stays about the same.
Okay, and thank you.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question.
Sure.
So Mark, on the stop loss reimbursement, that $1.148 million, mm-hmm. is that a fresh number? Is that anticipated number? And have we received that?
Are you looking at?
On the second page, first column.
Yes, that is what we received this year up to date in stop loss reimbursement. And again, we have outstanding is $1.2 million in stop loss reimbursement with some that have not made this year. Like there's other checks that they come in every Monday, right? So 1.4 or 1.148 is a little low. We're right around 1.2 as of this morning, with more anticipated coming in. Like I said, those large claims that have been paid, we have not. I got to make sure I explain this correctly, and if I don't, please jump in. BCI, when they receive a claim that large, goes back and goes through the claim to verify all the pieces and parts to it, if there's any way to save some money, if there's any way to do before they ever allow stop loss processing for repayment. How we are structured in stop loss, thankfully, we don't have to take a prorated stop loss rate. We get reimbursed at what the difference between our max out of pocket, which is 100 and a quarter, and the total payments. So if you have a paid claim or a billed claim of $960,000, but a paid, right, after all the discounts and fees of $566, we should only be, the fund should only be liable for 100 and a quarter of that, meaning there should be stop loss reimbursement to the fund of the remainder, since we pay it all up front, which is different than most places work where the stop loss will pay the bill, you get your portion of it. We pay the bill up front and we just wait for reimbursement, essentially. So there is some outstanding that for this year alone, we'll see that significantly increase, probably closer to $2 million, which eats at the overall deficit we're looking at. But moving forward for FY25, it's hard to predict what our stop loss is going to look like. If we trend it out over the last 5 years, which you have in front of you, it's been as low as $145,000. That was during 2020, but it's been averaging right around $800,000 in stop loss reimbursement. While that's super beneficial to reimburse our health trust, the converse effect is it affects our medical premiums, because it's like your car insurance. If you don't use it, your rates stay the same. It's when you start using it that now those premiums increase. So where I brought and told the board before, where the medical admin fees for the stop loss, they wanted a 16% increase this year. And they fought it back to 4.5%. So I anticipate our medical admin fees to increase by at least that amount, if not more, because of our stop loss engagement.
So theoretically, that $800,000, that's not really calculated. That $1.334 million projected end of FY24 could be close to $2.1 million. Once we receive that money back.
Correct.
Okay. So there's a little bit of lining that we have not received all the money back.
And I asked for that this morning. I mean, I was on the phone with him since about 8:30 this morning, and he was trying to say, look, I can't legally crunch numbers and tell you what your check will be. He says, but I'll send it to you, and you can figure that less the 125 that you're responsible for. And that's, I mean, and 800 is probably being conservative. It just depends. We have a pretty high INR, so incurred but not reported, still outstanding on claims that they can see on their side, but can't necessarily share at this point because they haven't been processed, but they know they're out there, and BCI is seeing them. So I'm hopeful that the stop loss reimbursement is going to help chip away significantly at what we would be a deficit this year.
Happy the $100,000 is going in the right direction.
Correct.
Chairman.
Yes.
When was the last time the county and employee contribution amounts were adjusted?
2017, sir. And that's, I mean, specifically, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Brooks, the reason why I was in front of you, and I think it was June, and we're back in front of you now with our brokerage firm today, we all agreed that at that meeting that in 2017, the health trust came in front of the board at that time, saying we've got about $300,000 left in our account, we can't pay our medical bills, right? And it was to identify early on and formulate a plan so we don't ever get to that point where we're now at crisis mode of we can't cover our health insurance bills. So yes, you see the projection of what it looks like moving through our next plan cycle. We still have the run out of this cycle to get through. And there's, as you said, Commissioner Chairman Holton, this is just a snapshot in time, right? I mean, I'm hopeful that our final number is significantly less than this, because that only gives us more time to come up with this solvent plan for the future moving forward. So, but I just don't have those, you know, it would be premature to do that today without just giving a generality of what is expected to still come in returns.
So say if you were to come back to us in 30 days, would you be able to have, is that a, what is the time window that you would know more specifically about this?
I'd have to defer to either Director Danner or Scott. Typically, how far out are we still seeing INR coming in for a rent plan rollout before we actually have an idea?
I think we'll have a good idea in 30 days, but I would expect 2024 plan to roll out through March. I've seen through the first quarter, you'll see incurred but not reported all the way through the end of March.
Okay.
And there's always some amount of incurred but not reported claims, just as the plan keeps going.
Sure.
You know, people keep using medical services, and the bills for those will keep coming about a month after the services have been.
Right.
So, but it's always a moving target.
I would say in a conversation that the Health Trust Board had with Gallagher, even just last week, 30 days would be a good indicator for us to come back to have a different conversation now that you have all of these numbers in front of you as a board, to be able to crunch your numbers and for us to be able to come back and hopefully collectively come up with a solution of how we might be able to manage it moving forward.
All right.
Mr. Chair, if I might, having the contributions not have changed since 2017 is pretty extraordinary. Medical costs inflate at a rate of 8 to 10% a year, every year. And so it doesn't necessarily make today's news any easier, but to not have changed that budget for 7 or 8 years is pretty extraordinary. It, you know, does lead to a pretty high rate of change that's needed today. If you were to spread that out over time, that's a pretty, actually very competitive average increase over those years.
Okay. Chief?
So, Mr. Chair, on this, yeah, there is a kind of segue to my comments is, since we have not done the adjustments for 2017, there has been a benefit from the employees for those 7 years, because I know traditionally that has been held for retention. Medical insurance, medical benefits, we couldn't get the salaries up, so that was kind of a benefit to hold the line on that side. And the other plans that we're on, they're kind of unheard of as well, is when you meet your max out of pocket, it's 100%. I don't think there's any other plans out there that really do that anymore, because of the rates of medical going up. So from a perspective, is the county holding the line for the employees to reap that benefit has been good, but here we are today, we're kind of the curse of our only good work here. So we're gonna have to work on this, but we need to work on some kind of plan to approach the funding and phase it in instead of doing one big ingestion, because I don't think we can do that. I'll leave that up to the clerk and the controller to determine what that looks like. But some kind of funding mechanism to phase it in to get us solvent. So I think we have a lot of pencil crunching to get us up to speed.
I can just add on top of that, plans do normally function that every member does have a maximum medical out-of-pocket expense, but very rarely is it the exact same as your deductible. So if your deductible is $2,000, then after that, you pay an additional maybe $4,000, maybe your annual maximum medical out-of-pocket expense is $6,000. I've never seen a plan before where the deductible is the maximum medical out-of-pocket expense. And so we recognize that our plans need adjusting and work. That was the main reason for Gallagher to be brought in. We are locked into this plan for calendar year of 25. But we have a lot of plans moving forward for calendar year 26 to change up benefits offered to the county and maybe possibly even move away from GEM plan and BCI. We don't know what that looks like yet, but we do know what it looks like for calendar year of 2025, and that's this plan.
Chairman, a few preliminary thoughts, and we've worked with Gallagher before in my prior position with the city of Nampa on the health trust, so I appreciate them being secured in the county. I believe that they'll do good work. To Chief Rass' point, I think the infusion to keep fund balance at the minimum is, depending on where the numbers finally land, that feels more like a non-negotiable from a best practices standpoint in order to ensure solvency of fund balance relative to potential claims. So if the course of action was to do that infusion, we would have to amend the current year's budget just because that wasn't budgeted on the benefit side. My recommendation, just in a preliminary fashion, would be to try to fund that proportionately by the FTE count relative to the funds across the county. So if that was a course of action you wanted to explore, we could, my office can come up with a recommended formula to amend the budget accordingly. That would just be for the one-time infusion. I think the bigger question is the reoccurring needs. So management by a one-time infusion is just really just to buy some temporary time. The option one, option two is, I leave that entirely up to you. I mean, the dollars, they're depending on option one or two, whether the county bears the entire cost, which would be $3,000 plus per employee that would go into the budget, or the employee bears some of the cost, you know, in option two. So again, that would be a policy decision, but the total amount is still about $3,400 if it's divided by 789. Now, I know the 789 is probably lower than what our funded FTE count is, correct? So that number would come down a little bit, but you're still looking at a 3,000 plus contribution per employee. That would be the reoccurring ask as part of the ongoing budget capacity. And that would eat up, a chunk of money in next year's budget that we were kind of bracing for to some extent. We knew that the health trust was nearing a need for some infusion. We would just have to, you know, sharpen our pencils and see what to do from a budget capacity standpoint. If there was a way to delay that decision a little bit, the option one, option two, or was the request like immediate?
No, let's just be honest. I mean, we need to know where our projected revenues are landing. I mean, we won't know that till third week of January. So it's information. It's a snapshot in time. You see the trend line. You see the way this is moving. We know we need to do something. Do we have time? Sure. I mean, we could move into first quarter and kind of see where those things land and what really can be done then. CEO Rast and I have talked, a structured, maybe three-quarter tie, you know, I however that fizzles out budgetarily. I don't know if it's even allowed to be done, but, you know, there, if it's tiered, so it's not all at one time, but we look as revenues hit what we can do at that moment to collectively get to this number or close to it. Incremental sometimes is a little easier to swallow than one-time lumps, but sometimes it's also better just to rip the band-aid and say, okay, that's been solved and done, moving on to something else. That's 100% in your guidance and with the clerk's office working through that. But yes, it's not like so dire that the money has to be there tomorrow, or, which is why it was important that we were back in front of you sooner than later, because another bad one, I mean, we had 1 month, right, that really put this on the fast pace. And you just don't know until you see the bills come in, and then you're like, uh-oh, this is exponentially faster than we anticipated.
So, Chairman, I think the total math between, you know, the 13 $1.67 over the $10.4. I mean, that's really the gap that would, you know, and it's just really how do you split that up? If you conclude that this is a good computation for what the ongoing reoccurring financial contributions need to be, I think the next step is to digest all that information and then figure out how that should be split out. The only challenge with health trust is, you know, it's not a progressive structure based on percent of income. So if you're asking the employee to contribute, it's usually a fixed dollar no matter what their salary is. And so it could be perceived as more regressive for lower paid employees. And there's not really the option to, you know, structure it that $75,000 employees and $40,000 employees pay differently. It's a fixed dollar rate. So, but if you adopt more a per employee burden and dividing that out, it could be received. This is just more a messaging and a perceived benefit. I know Director Danner left, but from an HR standpoint, what that does to employees' paychecks relative to what a COLA may have been or may not be. If this was funded, this would be a big challenge next year. And let's say hypothetically the county said we're going to contribute $3,000 more per employee. We don't see a penny more in our paycheck, but that's a significant contribution. That's well in excess of what maybe 4 or 5% COLA would have been if there wasn't an increase on the health. So I think to Chief Rass's point, the county's kind of held the line for all these years, and maybe it's created a false expectation or maybe not a full understanding that the county's contribution for employees that don't show up in your paycheck is a cost, you know, for employment. And that might be difficult news for employees to digest, that there might not be a COLA, but the messaging would have to be we're spending significant money in excess of what a COLA would have been to ensure that your health benefits stay solvent. So either way you look at it, there's good, you know, we just have to reckon with the reality of the situation and figure out the best course. But my office, we stand ready to assist with math and create different ways of, you know, just scenario planning if you want to ask us through scenarios. But really I leave it to you and the health trust to digest whether you think these numbers are good. But I think the one-time infusion would be a more shorter-term decision. I don't know if there was a projected date in which you would like. So maybe we have some time before we do an infusion. Maybe that number adjusts a little bit. You even allowed a little bit of flex in the recommendation, I think, for what that infusion should be. But my only recommendation there is we just divvy it out. We create an allocation formula based on employee count relative to the funds, and then do a budget amendment.
The gifts of prior boards continues to keep giving, Mr. Chairman. And the only thing I am comfortable in saying is option one is not an option, in my opinion. So the real fun is going to become figuring out what option two is really going to look like.
Chairman, in response to that, I think if we're going to put on our optimism glasses, as Chief Rast has indicated, there's been a lot of years where the contribution by the employee has been less than our taxpayers are paying. And so consider that a win. But the reality is everybody needs health insurance and everybody has to contribute toward funding a good plan. That is the reality. And I'm completely behind that. And I, this is not decision making, but I had the same thoughts that to continue to have either taxpayers or other employees subsidize is not really an option for me.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the timing of this is a challenge, given that the employees in HR just went through an open enrollment. So from the employees is that they were told last month what their benefits are going to cost for the next year. So coming back and asking for a change is difficult, and we don't see that often, if at all. However, that is, I mean, the timing is what it is. And I will also say that your current contributions are extremely competitive among employers in general and even among government employers. As is option two, still a very competitive offering.
Okay.
Chairman, just one other thought is, I think someone mentioned phasing, maybe Chief Rast. That would be contingent on maybe next year do some budgeting with an infusion, which isn't structurally what is hitting the benefits calendar, and maybe doing partially this. I'm just kind of thinking out loud, because this is about $2.7 million that would be an ongoing cost, but shared by the county and by employees in some formula. And maybe you're comfortable trying to phase that in as a lower amount, but reserve some sort of budget capacity for the county to contribute with a budget amendment, another infusion if needed. It is almost a contingency. I'm just trying to think out loud, and maybe that contingency isn't needed so that you didn't commit to building this into the structure, or you're maybe sold this, let's build this into our benefits for per employee, and it's spot on. Or maybe we're slightly too rich, we overshoot on this, hypothetically, in which case the fund balance would start to be a little bit healthier, and then you might look back and say, oh, maybe we didn't need to do as much. It's still going to be in the ballpark, but I mean, we're only talking probably a variance of single digits one way or another. But if we're really trying to crunch and be as precise to not overcommit, that might be one formula, but you'd still need to retain the budget capacity to be prepared to do a budget amendment if you did a lower amount and then said, okay, we were hoping that would maybe get a year, maybe instead of 2.7 million, do 1.5 million and see how does that carry us over. But I think the health trust could also run some projections on what the infusion does to fund balance, what this does, and then what the rate of spend is, and they could provide some scenarios and what, you know, what your tolerance is, essentially, you know, for what those scenarios might be, can inform a decision as well. And we could work together with the health trust as well out of my office and some of that scenario planning.
One way to maybe kind of provide some of the cushion that you're talking about, my understanding is that the budget is per FTE while the funding to the trust is per enrolled, which leaves some cushion. And so that might be a way to have some money in the budget and, you know, the funding of the trust could be a little bit different depending on how things run.
So, Mr. Chair, just kind of expand on my thoughts about the phased approach and kind of what the clerk is saying. In FY25, we have our projections of what we're thinking what it'll be. Is maybe that phased approach you get us through FY25 is to look at our A savings, because if you have E versus enrolled, there is a gap there. Use a little bit of A savings to kind of keep this thing rolling until we determine what the shared proportion is between the employee and the employer, being Canyon County, based on the recommendations of the new plans being negotiated. So I'm thinking there's a two-way parallelism to this thing. Phase it to see what we have for savings to keep 25 solvent, and then we go into a plan. So to me, it's a two-phased approach. So when I say phased approach, that was my thinking.
Yeah.
If I'm regurgitating what the clerk just said, I apologize.
No, Chairman, I think those are good points. There will be some of that, but as you know, it would just limit the amount of fund balance we're using right now to meet our budgetary demands. And I just took a sneak peek. We're about 18% in the fiscal year, and there seems to be pretty high utilization in the aid budgets across the county. So that's a good problem. But in a scenario where our budget is more effectively balanced, where the county at the end of the year is realizing, let's say, you know, in the last quarter, you're realizing there's going to be savings, and savings means less fund balance to spend, but actually money to be added to fund balance. The best practices I'd recommend is during those years, we can't go back in time, is that there'd be end of year resolution to consider the transfer of some of those monies into the health trust and just you kind of see where you land in the third and fourth quarter. That would be a good practice, I think, that I would recommend for the county moving forward when we're, you know, in a normal budgetary environment. I mean, we could still apply that logic in the current year's budget. We're clearly not going to fully expend the A budget. There are funded positions that sit vacant right now, and we budgeted benefits, assuming that an employee would be, you know, seated in their office and paid, but those contributions aren't going, but they also don't have the burden of having to cover that employee. So, but those are good philosophical things that probably should be workshopped when we, you know, discuss these matters and what the financial implications are, so that you have all the options before you for making a policy decision that you're comfortable with and that the health trust is comfortable with, and that the employees of Canyon County can have confidence that it's solvent. And I think if employees realize they haven't had to pay an extra penny since 2017, and the county hasn't, you know, again, the reckoning has to occur probably across the board, right, for all parties involved. And I think some candid conversations are being had right now, and this is just a precursor of, you know, bigger conversations that we have to have.
So I think there's some reality checks here. To not modify your rates since 2017 is not reality, and there's the day of reckoning. The loss, the one-time loss of the public defender's employee is a significant event that I'm not sure you can go back within the last decade or so and see anything similar to that. That's a significant event on this fund. I am totally uncomfortable with the discussion about the A budget. This board has become pretty focused on that not being used as a slush fund. I will say that that's my opinion, and I'm not being derogatory to anybody in the past. But we're getting a lot tighter on the A budget, and to utilize the savings in A budget at the end of the year and have multiple things that you're going to do with that and think that you're going to apply now this need to that, I'm really uncomfortable with that. We're spending that multiple ways. So that conversation for this commissioner might not be on the table because we're already tapping it greatly. The other thing that bothers me is the 26 budget, we already know, is going to be tighter than all get out. And you take whatever it is, $2.8 million that you're suddenly going to gift. I already don't know how we're going to keep and maintain what we have going at the moment, unless there's some cash cow that somebody's going to come up to me and instruct me that we have that we haven't tapped. So we have some thinking to do, and I do want to make on the record that we have great employees, and this isn't the employee's fault that we've gotten to where we're at, but how are we going to get out of this is, at the moment, I need more information, and everything's on the table. And if that makes you uncomfortable, I apologize. But we got elected to make the hard decisions, and we will make hard decisions, but we will do the best we can to make fair decisions. But we're handed a situation that could have been mitigated since 2017 and hasn't. And I know it's very unfair for me to say that sitting here today, because sometimes when you go through that year by year, it's not quite as clear as it is looking backwards today and living it in real life during those years. So I'm not wanting to be derogatory other than we have an issue and it's going to need to be addressed, and maybe not all of the options are going to be liked by everybody. We have some more information. Hopefully in 30 days we might have a little bit different situation that we can be deciding these decisions off of. but I just want to put that on the record that those things are some of the major things that we're having to pick up and deal with right now. Try to pick the best route forward. So,
Chairman, I think that's well said. And then the transparency side of that, we make a promise to the taxpayer to the best of our ability on what we're going to fund. So to levy taxes that are reflective of that, and then to respect the fact that it has to be paid and we can't spend our future. That's what we're saying. And so it will be challenging, but as you've indicated that we've signed up for that, I'm okay with that. There's been difficult things and we run toward those, not away from them. So I think it's been a good discussion, and we have the commitment to the taxpayer and the partnership of the clerk. I think that's huge. And then I'm going to make one more pitch with the onboarding of Chief Rast, really the deep dive on that budget process and getting to where our revenues and our expenses with the support of the clerk coming in this last year. That's huge, but it's fair and it's the right thing to do.
Right. And I think another golden thing that we have is Gallagher coming on board, being recognized and sought out and hired. And so that's going to be very helpful in the days ahead. Yep. So. Any other closing remarks or comments? So we'll set up a date sometime in January towards the end, sometime after the 19th or the 20th would be best, and put it on the agenda for everybody to be looking forward to what date that will be. And we'll confer with the board leadership in the meantime. It may or may not be an action item on that date, but it might be. And so for all the employees, stay tuned, and we'll see. We'll see us back on this topic towards the end of January. Any other thing?
Chairman, I move we adjourn.
All right.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you. Motion carries.